Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Wednesday, March 20th. The NCAA tournament began with a bit of a thud last night. I don't know, Wagner Howard was okay. Howard had three chances from deep, win the final like 5 seconds, and they couldn't make any of them. And then there was the Virginia game. And anybody who watched, you know, 3 minutes of Virginia basketball this season knew they were total garbage and did not belong in the tournament. And they proceeded to put up one of the worst performances I can remember in recent years. They're just not a good basketball team. And they got smoked. So your boy started out 2-0, hit the parlay. Wagner getting three and Colorado State money line, and then Colorado State straight up from Monday's podcast. Listen, the heater continues. I don't know if it will definitely continue onto tonight, because tonight's games I don't feel as confident in. They're actually probably going to be decent games. To break down the entire tournament, we got my guy TA coming on the pod. You guys know him from football season. He's really good. Now, I don't want to say he's a slave to the numbers, but the numbers are his jam, and that's really all he cares about. You know, you could say narratives and, what's his name? Rick Barnes can't win the big game. You could do all that stuff if you want, but he's all about the numbers. Bout it. So we will break down Cinderella's, double-digit seeds, favorites, bracket stuff. And when I decide what I'm firing on tonight, I'll post them on the gram. Early lean, I guess I would go Colorado, but I don't feel super confident in that. You know, fade the Mountain West Conference, obviously. So I believe I would go Colorado in the nightcap in the first game. If you remember, I had Montana to complete a 3 or 4 team parlay championship week, and Montana State got them. Montana State is not terrible, and I would probably go money line parlay with Montana State and Colorado. Not a ton of confidence, but if anything else jumps out, I'll drop it on IG. But for now, let's get to our guest, the great TA from Clev Analytics.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure, Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome into Straight Fire. You know him from football season. T.A., totally dominant when it comes to the numbers. He has cashed in the Super Contest in Vegas, and now we're bringing him on for college hoops. Listen, college basketball's in a weird place, T.A. Like, people used to love it, you know, 15, 20, even maybe like 10 years ago with the Jahlil Okafor Duke freshman team. And now it's just kind of, it's just not what it was. So regular season college hoops, nobody really pays attention to. However, there is a ton of data out there that can help you win your bracket pool, win your Calcutta, all that. So TA put some stuff on the internet that's just blowing people's minds. So I thought I'd bring him on. TA, what's the feedback been like on your stuff that you posted on Cleve Analytics?
What's going on, Jason? We were just talking before this, you know, I'm an NFL guy for the most part. I used to love college basketball growing up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, the old Big East and ACC and just all these NBA players running around. And, you know, now it's totally different. So I just haven't had the time to follow college basketball deep like a lot of people, you know. So when you go to fill out these brackets, it's hard to just, you know, you don't know the players and the teams really well. So for me, it's just I've used historical data on the tournament, using a lot of the advanced metrics, using, you know, mainly KenPom data, which is great. It's out there for everyone to grab. So I use that as a backdrop for me to help fill out my bracket. And I think it can be helpful for, you know, I'm assuming 90%+ of your audience is not, you know, they're not college basketball experts. And so, you know, just at least having the background on the types of teams that profile to be national champions, you know, historically, the higher seeded teams that historically have been prone for upsets, the, you know, double digit seeded teams that have a shot to upset the big boys and kind of their profiles, like having that in your back pocket, it's not perfect. And the goal is not to make a perfect bracket. It's just to beat, you know, everybody else in your pool. And so having that data really is helpful, at least for me. And I think for others, you know, creating, you know, a bracket that at least has a fighting chance of winning some money.
Yeah. It's a tough one because, you know, COVID kind of messed up college basketball. And now you've got like 25-year-old guys littered throughout the sport, which is fine. I'm happy for them, but it's made it tough to pay attention. And the freshmen just don't have the value they once did because, again, you're 18 or 19 going up against a 24-year-old, like, good luck. So TA, when you look at the historical numbers, how much have they changed in the last 3 years? Because, like, I figure, like, last year was a massive outlier with, like, San Diego State making the title game and who was it? FAU made a massive run. Like, just very strange things happened last year. What could we learn from that and apply it to this year?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. It really hasn't changed all that much. It's actually been a little bit more predictable, I think, when it comes to the title winners. And we could talk about specifically, but, you know, the title winners have not been that, you know, for a tournament and for an event that is so, quote unquote, unpredictable. You know, you can narrow down the potential champions pretty well. And using, like I said, using like the KenPom rankings, even though UConn was a 4 seed, They were one of, I think they were the sixth highest, or sorry, they were the fourth highest KenPom team, and they were a four seed. That just tells you how badly the NCAA committee does at putting together this bracket. So if you look at the last, I think it's 8 years, every single winner of the title has been a top six KenPom team entering the tournament. Okay, so, and if you go back, I mean, you've got the Shabazz Napier UConn team in 2014, they were 25th. You have the Carmelo team in 03 with Syracuse, they were 22nd. And then you have the Kemba Walker team with UConn in 2011, they were 15th. Every other team has been top six since 2001 entering the tournament. So from that perspective, like, you could really narrow down the types of teams that can win just based on that. And then there's other things, like I said, my website goes into detail, like some of the defensive metrics and some of the offensive metrics, like very, very few teams that, you know, come in ranked, you know, above like 69th in defense historically have even had a shot of winning the title. So you could really narrow down the types of teams. And so last year, UConn was fourth going into the tournament and they won. That wasn't really that much of a shock. It was just because they were a four seed. It seemed like came out of nowhere. San Diego State wasn't your typical profile of a contender, and they were a little bit higher seed. I think they were a five seed, but, you know, they too were, you know, top 25 in the KenPom rankings coming in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have plenty of teams that, I think they're 20th. So they have plenty of teams, you know, that fit that category, and San Diego State was one of them. I mean, like I said, we can dive a little bit deeper, but Miami was a little bit of an outlier because they were a team that was really, really good on offense, but just horrible defensively when you look at their advanced metrics. And for them to make the Final Four was a little bit of an outlier, but in general, you know, they kind of ran into a buzzsaw in UConn and they couldn't get over the hump. And that's typically what you see with these teams that are not great on defense. They just can't gather five or six straight games and wins to win a title. So it really wasn't that far off of the norms last year, although no number one seed made it, which is the first time that hasn't happened in a while. But at least the winner wasn't too fluky.
Yeah, the Miami run, it basically feeds everybody's, well, you need good guard play, which is like the most basic thing ever. Like, that's what everybody says on TV. You need good guard play, which is fine. They have great guard play. But if you look at this year's top, you said top seven, or the last 8 years, the top seven in KenPom, somebody's won it? Top six.
Top
okay.
six. But so I wouldn't narrow down my focus to that degree. But, you know, it just so happens that top six has been kind of standard here for the last handful of years.
I think one of the other things was, I think you had to be top 20 offense and defense or something along those lines. Like 19 of the last 21 winners were top 20 offense and defense heading into the tournament. And again, that's just a baseline. Connecticut certainly fits that bill, but so does Houston. Purdue 21st in defense. Auburn's the one I want to talk about because, again, not a lot of people, SEC didn't have a great year. Everybody knows more about Kentucky than they do Auburn. But Auburn's 10th in offense, 4th in defense. I don't know. You're big on the numbers. I don't know what Bruce Pearl does for you. But I don't know. Are we sleeping on Auburn? Because you posted something today where Auburn had the best value based on the odds that were out there. They're considered a long shot by many. And, well, long shot according to ESPN. But meanwhile, you have them as really, really good value.
Yeah, it's funny. So we were just talking about UConn last year. They were a four seed and they were grossly underseeded. They were, like I said, fourth by KenPom going into the tournament. So, you know, that was a team that ended up winning and they kind of, you know, made KenPom look good and made the committee look pretty poor because, you know, they were way too good to be a four seed. And Auburn is almost the exact replica of UConn last year. Mm. They also are a four seed, but they're number four in KenPom's overall rankings. They really, when you look at the underlying metrics, are playing like a number one seed. Now, you know, again, I haven't followed it close enough in terms of kind of resume and all that stuff. I know others have, but, you know, they don't have a ton of, you know, top 10 level wins. I don't think they have any actually, but they have, you know, blown out the teams that they're supposed to. So there's 18 teams that rank 70th or higher in KenPom, and Yale, one of their first opponent, I think is like 84th. And they're 18-0 in those games, and they've blown pretty much everybody out by at least 15 points, or at least 14 points. They blew out Alabama. They've kind of done enough to make their numbers look good, because margin of victory does matter in this stuff. And so, you know, they profile very similarly to Connecticut last year. And, you know, as we talk about, you know, how do you win your brackets? If you're in a large pool that has a ton of entrants, one thing you want to do is differentiate yourself. You know, picking all number one seeds and picking UConn to win it all is not gonna differentiate things when you have a large pool. You know, maybe in a smaller pool it's okay, but a large pool, and one way to potentially do that that I'm looking at in my bracket is picking Auburn over UConn in the Sweet 16 in that region, getting them to the Final Four. You don't necessarily have to have them win it all, but just getting them to, you know, in that region is going to be different than a lot of others, because, you know, like 25-26% of, you know, right now I think ESPN's public brackets are picking UConn to win it all. I bet you a lot more picking to the Final Four. So, you know, it just almost seems too easy, and we've seen it so many times. Like, it's very hard to repeat. It's been since, what, the 07 Florida Gators that it's happened. So as good as UConn is, you know, if you want to win your pool and you've got a lot of entrants, a lot of contestants in that pool, picking potentially Auburn over UConn could be that kind of differentiator.
Yeah. I think I saw 17 years since Florida, not repeating, but getting out of the Sweet 16.
There, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, which is crazy. Did you say 25% of the pools have UConn winning it?
Oh yeah, it's like 25-26%. And so what I did was I posted today, and it's on, you know, on my website on that March Madness page. You know, I go through one way, if you're just not following, you're not really paying attention to all this and you don't want to spend a ton of time, you know, doing a deep dive on all the teams. One easy way is, and you could use this as a guide, is, you know, if you're in a pool and you want to differentiate, you want to, you know, stick out a little bit because you don't want to have the same teams everybody else has, you're never going to win. Comparing the actual betting odds to win the championship versus the ESPN quote unquote public bracket, which they do a great job. It's great. It's great information to have. Like, it's a good proxy for what, you know, everyone's pool is going to look like. And right now, 25% of ESPN's public bettors or public pickers in brackets are taking UConn to win it all. When you look at the actual betting odds and kind of the implied win, the win probability, it's only 17.5%. I mean, that's a huge gap. So, you know, Auburn is probably the best value on the board when you look at that. About, you know, a little less than 3% of public pickers are taking Auburn to win it all, when their implied betting odds say they're closer to 5%. Again, it's one of the larger gaps that among the top teams. So, you know, Tennessee is another one, for example. So, if you, like I said, if you're not playing in one of those small, you know, with a couple of buddies or a small pool, and you got a larger pool of, you know, 50, 100, 100 plus people, you know, Auburn is a good way to kind of differentiate yourself from a team like UConn. You just can't, if you're in a big pool, you really can't pick UConn to win it all. It's just, there's no way, because everybody else is going to be picking them, like I said. So when a quarter of public pools are taking UConn, that's a good proxy for what yours is probably going to look like.
Yeah, I like that. I almost wonder, you know, Sweet 16, it looks like UConn will be playing in Boston, which is basically like a home game against Auburn. Now, does that factor in at all? Like, man, they really stacked the deck for UConn. Now, I know the bracket is hard, and you know, they have some very good, they have conference champs all over the place. But I don't know, does that factor in for you at all? Like, Auburn would be beating UConn in Massachusetts?
Nah, I don't take that much stake in it. Any, you know, to be honest, these days, you know, this isn't like a true home court where, you know, one team is really traveling a lot versus the other, and you're getting the home whistle. Like, it's really about the referee bias at the end of the day when you're in a home court. But I don't take too much when it's a different home court. It's, you know, maybe it's mileage isn't that far away. Like, I personally don't think it's that big of an advantage, but, you know, I can understand, you know, some people think that way. And honestly, like, if you're in a Sweet 16 setting, people love to see upsets and love to see the underdog win, and especially a big contender like UConn. So if you're one of these other teams in that region, like, let's say Illinois is playing Iowa State, I don't know, it's kind of picking two teams there, they want to see UConn lose. So those fans that are sitting in there, because you get like the full, you know, the fans of the teams might be in for both games, like, they're rooting for the underdog. So it's not as, you know, one-sided in that regard. So I personally don't take that much stock into it. Okay. When I look at these games, I just kind of pick the teams as kind of the quality and, like I said, the historical profiles.
Okay, Arizona and Purdue lost early last year. Do you think that they're almost undervalued in a sense? Because everybody's saying, oh, those guys are choke artists, they're frauds, they lost in the first round last year as heavy favorites. What do you say to that?
Yeah, you know, Purdue is very undervalued because, you know, just like everyone's saying, like, oh, I'm not going to pick Purdue. Like, they keep, they've blown it year after year. You know, they're not the greatest defensive team in the world. They're better than they were last year, but they're not elite. You know, they've got the big man Edey. And so they're, but you look at their resume. I mean, they have beaten some really, really good teams. It's actually pretty impressive. So, like, they have proven that they can win against the best. I mean, they beat Tennessee by 4. They beat Marquette by 3. They beat Arizona by 8. You know, like, they have some, they beat Illinois twice. They beat Alabama. Like, they have some really, really good wins on their resume. So you have a team that, like, if you didn't know who that, you know, if you didn't know that was Purdue and you just looked at the resume and you looked at some of the underlying metrics, you would say, oh, this team is a legit, like, championship contender. But because it says Purdue and it's Matt Painter, they're being discounted. So, yeah, I mean, I don't love to do it because, you know, it's like shame on me. How many times in a row can you see them lose? But from a pure kind of value perspective, you just kind of hold your nose. They're a team that probably is a decent bet to get to the Final Four. And honestly, their region is probably the easiest, in my opinion. Like, Tennessee's tough, but the top of that bracket. Now, we just saw Kevin McCullers has been announced out for Kansas. So that's their best player. So he's out. That's going to hurt them. Gonzaga's, you know, they're fine, but they're not some elite team like they were in the past couple of years. You know, the Purdue would play potentially TCU or Utah State's round 2. Like, they can win that game. I mean, Purdue beat Gonzaga earlier this year, I think by 10. So they can, it's not that difficult of a path. And it really does kind of remind me of Virginia a handful of years ago, right? Virginia lost year after year. They lost the first round to UMBC, and then the next year they won the title, right? So it's not exactly the same, but it's got a similar feel. And that was, I remember I wrote about that at the time. It was very similar. They were number one seed. Nobody wanted to pick them because of all their historical failures. And so they were actually an undervalued one seed, which you rarely ever see. And very few people were picking them to get to the Final Four, let alone the title. And so if you put them in your bracket, it's kind of an easy, you know, it's a number one seed. They should be, you know, they should have a good chance to get there. And nobody was picking them, and they ended up winning. So it's got a similar feel. I don't know if it's going to happen, but, you know, I think if you're looking to, again, stick out a little bit, feel free to put them in your Final Four. I don't think it's really that big of a leap.
I like that. And again, this is minutia, but, like, TCU is one of those scrappy teams where their guards, they'll turn you over. It looks like they're 22nd in turnover percentage. Like, Jameer Nelson's kid is on the team, and he's a menace. He's like 23, 24 years old. And I can see the Purdue guards wilting, but I'm with you. I will have Purdue in most of my.
Well, you know what the problem is, Jason, is they've got Tennessee in that region who's got Rick Barnes. It's like the same thing with Rick Barnes. Like, to put them both in the same region and neither of those coaches can ever get their teams.
That's a good point.
Out of, like, the second round. And it's like, man, you've got all these, you know, the kind of a, you know, this, the, Spider-Man meme looking at each other. Like, it's they set it up very well. It's almost like they intentionally set it up for Purdue after these last couple of years. I mean, just the way this kind of, you know, with Kansas and the injuries, and I don't know. I actually don't think that the route, like I said, if you swapped spots with UConn, they would have no shot to get to the Final Four, in my opinion. Not no shot, but, like, it would just be really difficult. But I just think that with the region that they're in now, it's a lot easier to get there.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. And a couple double-digit dogs you should take a look at. I think a couple dogs will be barking opening weekend of the tournament. Obviously, I can't give betting advice, but I can sure lean on knowledge, my awesome run this season. If you're not paying attention, you're missing out. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You mentioned that Purdue's resume is amazing. You had this great stat that I didn't even notice, but Duke did not face a top five team all season, and they went 0-3 against top 10 KenPom teams. They have one win over a top 15 team. You know this, TA. Duke forever has been one of the talking points, one of the darlings. Everybody knows Duke. I feel like they've got no juice whatsoever right now. They had that bad loss to NC State. They come into the season with two straight losses, into the tournament with two straight losses. I don't know. Where are you on Duke?
Yeah, you know, they're a fringe team that kind of have a lot of the, you know, ingredients, like I said, historically to get there, you know, from they're eighth in KenPom, they're top seven in offense. You know, defensively not as good. They're 26 in adjusted defense, but you know, we've seen offense has mattered a little bit more recently than defense the last handful of years. You know, they got a really good player, Filipowski. John Shire hasn't really proven that he can, you know, lead a team very far. I'm not sure if he's really a good coach. You've got, you know, I'm not sure. Like I said, they haven't beaten the elites. They have zero wins against anybody in the top 10. When you look at KenPom, I think Baylor is their best win at 14th. They've lost to Arizona by five. I mean, they lost a lot of close games, to be fair. So they lost to Arizona by five. They lost to North Carolina by nine, lost again to Carolina by five. You know, all their losses are very close. I don't think they have any loss more than single digits. So, you know, from that perspective, like a margin of victory, they easily could have been, you know, instead of 24-8, that could have been like 28-4. Like they were this close and could have been a number one seed and things might be different. So, you know, I don't think it's impossible for them to get there. I just think that they really haven't proven that they can consistently win these close games against, you know, the top elite level teams. But maybe, you know, some of the luck at the late game will help, you know, will turn around and they can get there. It's not impossible. They do face Houston if they get there in the Sweet 16, and you know, Houston's just a really tough team. So
yeah,
it's not impossible for them to get there, but I'm not personally picking them myself.
All right, I'll say one of the most eye-opening things I saw from you that I'm in a Calcutta group, and I sent it to our group. I said, listen, Kentucky profiles very badly, and then I sent them your stuff on Kentucky's defense being horrific. The narrative, though, TA, is, Kentucky's got DeJuan Wagner's kid and the kid Shepherd and Dillingham. I mean, they got three pros. They're going to be good. They could outscore anybody. They could run and jump. And then you dig into the numbers, and you're like, holy cow, these guys can't stop. They might not be able to stop my rec league team.
Yeah, so that's a good. This is exactly like if you don't know anything about these teams, just who's playing, whatnot, and you just look at the history, and you just go by probabilities and the odds, and kind of what has been kind of what leads to one of these higher seeds like a Kentucky, what has led to those losses early in a tournament, and it's purely this profile of team. It's an elite offense, so top 25 in offense, but or defensively. So the number that I've used in my research is 135th in the country or worse from a points per possession allowed. Okay, that's before any sort of adjustment for schedule, et cetera. Just purely how many points did you allow per possession, right? And there since 2004, there have been 38 teams that have been a top seven seed. So you're a good seed. So you're expected to go farther. You're top 25 in offense, like I said, and then 135th or worse on defense. Among those 38 teams, only one made the Final Four, and that was Miami last year. And I told you that was a little bit of a fluke. And honestly, if you remember that round one game against Drake, they were trailing with, I think, 3 minutes left. They should have lost that game. They ended up coming back and winning, and then they had a nice run into the Final Four. But that is that is an outlier based on history. Other than that, four other teams out of 38 made the Elite Eight, and 12 out of 38 teams were upset by a double-digit team in a double-digit seed in round one, which is pretty incredible. Three of the last 15 teams that kind of fit this profile since 2017 have made it past round two. Okay, like these are, this is like historically the exact type of team that you want to fade. And it's not just Kentucky this year. It's Illinois. It's Baylor. It's Alabama. It's Florida. It's interesting. There's three SEC teams that all were just awesome on offense, but couldn't stop a nosebleed. And it makes sense, right? Like, if you're going to string together multiple wins, you're going to have to win close games and you're going to have to get stops. And if you're just not capable, maybe you can do it on a singular game or even like two games. But to do it multiple games in a row is just very difficult with defenses, that poor. And so Kentucky is a team that I'm going to be fading, not necessarily round one, although I do like Oakland against spread getting 14. I think that I would not put them, Florida or Alabama really, or Illinois past round two. Like to me, that's like the cutoff. And maybe, like I said, maybe one of them squeaks by to an Elite Eight or something. But in general, I think fading those teams we've seen, I mean, 12 of 38, you're talking about almost a third of higher seeded teams being losing in the first round to a double digit seed. Like these are real upsets. And so a team like Kentucky just always never believe the hype before a tournament when everybody is saying like, this is the hot team and this is the team we're going to back. And it's kind of a public fade, if you will. Like that's always something to be nervous about. You look at some of the ESPN numbers, like I said, you would look at kind of general kind of what the public is taking to win the title versus actual odds. And Kentucky's got the third kind of worst value when it comes to that. North Carolina and Connecticut are the other two. You could see just like the general public's believing the hype and they're just ignoring the fact that their defense is just really poor. I mean, this defense is 211th in the country on a points for possession basis. So I'm going to be fading them and let everybody else pick Kentucky to get to everyone's darling to get to the Final Four, and I'll be fading them early.
Do you remember their team from 2022? The team that lost to St. Peter's. I'm just looking up now. Fifth in offense, 36th in defense, and they had Oscar Tshiebwe, who was like the player of the year. Ty Washington was going to the NBA. I think he's on the Rockets, maybe. They had the kid from David. They had like a squad, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, got to love Kentucky. And they get smashed by St. Peter's in overtime, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah. Like I said, that team was actually profiled a little bit better than this one. I mean, I remember watching again. Like I said, I'm more of an NFL guy, but I remember watching Gonzaga go into Rupp Arena maybe a month ago, and they just laid it on them. They could not stop Gonzaga, who's a really good offense. because just defensively, they have no shot. I mean, they've got an elite offense. It's going to be fun. Like them and Alabama and Florida, like they're going to be scoring a lot of points. It's going to be entertaining, but just to expect a team like that to be so hot on offense to, you know, be able to make up for that deficiency on defense is really hard. And historically, it just hasn't proven out that way.
Have you, did you get any futures on anybody ahead of the tournament, or did you, are you just going to go game by game?
Yeah, you know, so it was probably 6 or 7 weeks ago. I was looking because I knew I always look at these KenPom numbers and some of the historical data points. And I knew I wanted to find somebody that maybe was just outside of like the top three or four that could have value. So the only future I have, and I don't love it now because honestly, I think they're a little vulnerable, is North Carolina. I had them at 16-1. If you look at the, like I said, if you look at the kind of who everyone's picking in the brackets and kind of what their actual odds are, like Carolina's up there with one of the most overvalued teams. You know, they're a good team. They've got Baycott, they've got, you know, Davis, like they're a good team, and there's a chance that they can get to the Final Four and all that, but you know, they are probably the most vulnerable. I mean, they're ninth in KenPom and they're a number one seed, so they don't necessarily deserve and profile to be a number one seed. I still think it's live, but it's not my favorite right now. So I don't personally like taking futures at this point. I just don't see the value because, like you said, you could just roll over.
Yeah, roll over, right?
You know, the money lines and probably do, you know, do better. So I haven't gone to that route with it with any of these teams. But yeah, Carolina is the one that I have, and it's probably the one I don't like.
All right, we can wrap up. I saw, I don't know if it was KenPom or Bart Torvik, one of the sites had the Big East as the second best conference in America this year. Now they only get three into the tournament. And it almost feels like there's no pop behind Creighton and Marquette. Now, Kolek, the point guard from Marquette, who's awesome, All-American, he's hurt. Apparently, he's going to play. He just sat out the Big East tournament. Is there a chance either of those two makes a San Diego State-type run, both top 25 in defense, top 25 in offense, and they've got some experience? I just don't know if the Big East almost feels undervalued because they had a couple teams snubbed.
Yeah, so say I don't mind either of those teams. I will say, so if you're looking at kind of the higher seeded teams that are vulnerable to these kind of double digit seeds, and you know typically profiles from an upset perspective, teams that don't turn you over when you're one of the better seeds or are not able to grab defensive rebounds, they allow the small guys to stick around, and that makes you vulnerable for an upset. So Creighton, I mean, they're 362nd in the country in defensive turnover percentage. So yeah, they don't get any steals. They don't turn you over. And again, if you're playing a lower seeded team that, wants to hang around, they'll let you hang around because they're just not going to create extra possessions. That's the whole name of the game, is can you create extra possessions if you're an underdog, and can you prevent that if you're one of the big boys? And Creighton's not very good at defensive rebounding. They're just kind of average, and they're really poor at creating turnovers. So, you know, if they face a team that gets hot, it's hard for them to steal extra possessions, which is what you need to come back in games. So they've got everything that profiles as a contender, and everything else actually fits. It's just those things, you know, make me a little bit nervous. Not to say they can't do it, but, you know, they're going to have to really do it with their offense more than anything. And they can. They're very capable. Marquette, a little bit better. They're sixth in turnover percentage. And we know, you know, with the Shaka Smart, pressure defense, that they can create turnovers. They're not very good on the boards on either end. I mean, they're 248th in offensive rebounding, 222nd in defensive rebounding. So if they face a team that could, you know, crash the boards and get those extra possessions, they could be in trouble. And again, you mentioned the injury, that matters as well. But both teams have a shot, not to say that they don't. I'm not necessarily that high on them per se, but I think they both have a shot. I mean, they clearly have, you know, the firepower to do it. They just have to, they have to do it with their offense, to be honest.
Yeah, it's weird. Shaka Smart had so much juice with that VCU team. And I don't know, man. I just feel like every March he's kind of been a letdown with better teams, with NBA players. I mean, Texas. I don't know. Funny. I don't know what to say, man.
Yeah, you talk about, it's funny that that VCU team, was it 2011? When you look at like the last 25 years or whatever of data, there's only one team that is like the most complete out. You could make a case like this. Okay, I could see how this team you know, got to the Final Four. VCU sticks out like a sore thumb in every category. There is nothing that they did well in the, you know, from an underlying metric season during the season to actually like get you to the point where like, okay, I could see VCU get there. Like there is nothing when you look at the numbers looking back, you're like, how in the world did they get there? And then you see what the Final Four was that year. It was like, what was it, Butler? And like, it was all like, I think seeded like six and higher. It was a really, really weird year, but he did get a team, you know, that didn't deserve to be there, to be honest. I think they just had really hot shooting and they got a, you know, got a streaky and, you know, they got on a run and that could happen. But yeah. Other than that, though, he really hasn't done much in the tournament, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah. All right. T.A., you could definitely visit his website, cleaveanalytics.com. Great stuff. He's an oracle when it comes to the numbers. Are you going to be doing any other sports? Obviously, NFL, your site's mandatory, but college hoops now. Are you going to do golf or tennis? What are you expanding the profile?
Well, so, you know, just I did this last year with college basketball, just, you know, just for the tournament. I like to do it just because I have the numbers, I have the data, and I can, you know, put those together. I love golf. I love betting golf. I don't know if you ever bet golf. I'm a golfer myself. So in the off season, when, you know, off football season, it's a great sweat to have a guy or two, you know, in it at the end of a tournament. So, you know, I dabble. I don't really post that much. I'll have something probably on the Masters, but otherwise it's just kind of like, you know, toss a couple of guys with some outrights and maybe top tens. But yeah, it's really just, to me, NFL is the bread and butter. I'm going to have my NFL preview coming up typically end of June, early July. So that takes like a good 6 to 8 weeks to put together. Ooh. So much data and really digest the off season. And so I'll be starting that probably, you know, like kind of late April, early May. So that takes up a lot of my time. Otherwise, like I said, just get outdoors a little bit, spend some time with the family and, you know, maybe play a little bit of golf. But that's about it. No baseball, no NBA, yeah, really, you know, just for fun. But no kind of nothing on the site, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, T.A., great stuff. Continued success, man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jason.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.